Christ is the way. Praise the Lord for those beautiful message and a touch of music that enrich our hearts as we praise and worship the Lord. Pastor Neri, this morning, he called me and said, Pastor Mataafa, I want you to tell the church about the experience of last Sunday. For those who not know what happened last Sunday, we had a beautiful health fair last Sunday, and it was a great success for the first time that Fallbrook Church able to put that program together. So the great support from the church, the elders, the deacons, the pathfinders, the youth, everyone was come in to ask, what can I do? And it was such an inspiring spirit. So I would like you to know, in the behalf of Pastor Neri, that he is so thankful and grateful for the great support of our church that made that program last week a great success. So we pray that for next year, we'll do even much better. And for those who here that didn't show up, we'll probably see you next year for the health fair. I know that our secretary worked so hard, and I just told that she had a birthday yesterday, so happy birthday, Emily. And one last thing I would like to know, let you know, I'd like to introduce a special person, Dr. Tall and Mrs. Tall, to our church today. This pastor and his wife, when I first started in the ministry, there was no budget. But he contacted the General Conference and was able to have some money aside to pay me to start in the ministry. So I pay respect to Dr. Tall and Mrs. Tall, and may God bless. We're so thankful to have you this morning. Let's pray for our message this morning. Father God in heaven, we stand before your presence. We know that we are nothing without you. As we open your word, we ask that your spirit will be our speaker, speak through us, speak in us, or speak in spite of us. So their hearts will be blessed and touched, and we continue to rejoice and give you honor and glory. Thank you for the Sabbath. May your name be glorified in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a famous British naval commander by the name of Nelson Horatio. Maybe some of you familiarize with that great hero. He became famous in British in the War of Trafalgar. 1805, July 21st. Nelson hurt his eye and had a bland eye, and even he was wounded, lost his hand. In one of the battle, he was vice admiral, and the senior admiral saw the fleet of the French and Spain pressing against the British ships, and he signaled to Nelson and he said, withdraw your troop, your fleet. Some soldier bringing to his attention said, the senior admiral signaled to withdraw. He took the telescope and put it in his blind eye, and he pretended to look, and he said, onwards ever, backwards never. In one occasion, Nelson, while he was in the flagship, he raised a flag with a motto, England expect every soldier's to do his or her duty. That motto determined a great defeat of the France and Spain, who was purposely moving to invade England in during the French Revolution. Our sermon this morning is entitled, Bear the Burdens Together with Others. Sermon this morning comes from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 18, if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to turn to the book of Exodus 18. You will follow and I will read from verse 13 to verse 17 as a text we'll be using for our study this morning. Exodus 18, 13 to 17, it reads, The next day Moses took his seat to serve as a judge for the people, and they stood around him for morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening? Moses answered him, Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between parties and inform them of God's decree and law. Moses' father-in-law replied, What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will wear yourself out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. The scripture this morning, as we read, it talks about, it's a narrative account of Jethro, the Midianite priest, the father-in-law of Moses, who went out to meet Moses after the Israelites just left Egypt and had their first encounter with the Amalekites. You can find that in Exodus 17. So when Jethro, the Midianite priest, heard about Moses gaining victory over the Amalekites, especially the news of what God performed through the experience of the Israel while they were in Egypt. So he went out to meet Moses. He brought with him the wife of Moses and two sons. While he was there, he observed and noticed something interesting. Where all this multitude of people come to Moses. They were all in line, one by one, approached Moses, while Moses, judging, counsel, advised the people. At the passage we read, the Midianite priest gave a counsel to Moses. It's a council that has a special message. If we look and discover why is this Midianite priest came and gave an godly advice to the man of God, we may ask, he is a Gentile, why did he? As we look at verse 10, we can find out that Jethro, the Midianite, he was a true priest of God. Verse 10, chapter 18, Jethro blessed the Lord who delivered Moses and the people from the hand of Pharaoh. Verse 11, he confesses that God is the greatest above all of God of Egypt. Look at verse 12. Jethro offered burnt offering and sacrifice to God. He ate bread with Moses and Aaron and the elders of the people. We can find out from the scripture, even though he was a Midianite priest, but he was a servant of God. You may remember the encounter of Abraham after he retrieved and saved the life of his nephew Lot. You can find that in Genesis 14. When Abraham came back, he met another priest. His name was Melchizedek. And according to the book of Hebrew, he was type of Christ. And Abraham gave him tithe. Could it be this man Jethro? Could be. He has all the qualities. In fact, his name reveals the quality of God. His name, by translating Jethro, means the excellent one. He also known by the name Ruel, means the friend of God. Could it be he is the type of Christ who approached Moses with a compelling message? A message for the people who journey to the promised land. A message to the leader of the people of God. And he said to Moses, Moses, you cannot bear the burdens of the people alone. Moses, you cannot bear the burdens of the people alone unless you delegate your leadership qualities to other members of your people. My friend, this morning, we are in God's work. We cannot do the work of God alone by our mighty, by our understanding. We need each and every one of us to bear each one's burdens. That's what the message of the Midianites. In fact, if you read further, you know this message was prepare the people of God for their encounter with God in Mount Sinai. Jethro, father-in-law of Moses, he gave his concern about the challenge that foreshadowed the people of God. He said in verse 22, you may look at Exodus 12, 22, he says, the people were worn out. Moses, you will be stressed out and burned out because the work of inquiring in the behalf of people is too much. You need help for this work. Interesting to know that Moses was a graduate from the University of Pharaoh in Egypt. He had all the qualifications to be a successful leader because he was a candidate for the throne. And he was lacking of something. He lacked of understanding how to bear burdens together with others. You may have a better training than Moses. We may have a better education, but when we come to in terms of sharing burdens, we ourselves lacking of that. Because we stereotype people who may qualify for us to give our help. We may lack because we have a certain screen that we stereotype people that we're willing to give our support. I always want to stop to help people stall their car by the freeway. But somehow I feel guilty because I'm afraid that they might hurt me. And every time I drove by, I pray maybe someone would stop and help. One day, I think 2 or 3 years ago, I determined I will help someone on the road. On that Sunday morning, I was on my way to 78. I saw a car pull off, actually get off the freeway. I suspect the driver fell asleep. I stopped. I said I will go see if I could help. Got out of my car, I went there and looked at the car. He just stood sideways. And a young teenager got out of the car. He was just cursing and kicking the car. And when he looked at me, he said, "Sir, do you have a rope? I want to pull my car out of here because I don't want officers, police officers, to find me here." I said to the teenagers who was drunk that morning, "Okay, I'll go and see." I went inside my car, closed the door, and drove away. It's because we stereotype people that we're willing to bear burdens with them. That's why we're guilty, because we want to help, but we also have that screen. Who can we offer our help? We have 4 children. However, my dear sweet wife, almost all the time she deals with our 4 little ones, shopping, cooking, all those things. And our children get to love her because she has much patience and compassion for our children. Sometimes they took advantage of her, and I feel, notice her, that she overwhelmed with them. And I will come and help. Fortunately, having 4 children, it helped us to learn well and learn better how to support each other. Also joining the children, the young family ministry, I discover that I was not alone learning the process of how to bear one's burdens for raising children. My friend, this morning, Christians must know how to bear burdens together with others. Christians must know how to give a support without reservation. That's the message the Midianite priest came to deliver to the leader of the people of Israel. We may ask, how? How can we bear burdens with others? As you look at verse 19, Exodus 18, verse 19, Jethro said to Moses, "Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Moses, I want you to stand before God for the people, so that they may bring difficulties to God." How to bear burdens with others? The Midianite priest gave a counsel. We must stand before God in the behalf of others. Start with a life of prayer. Start with a life of prayer, that we can pray in the behalf of others before we petition our own burdens. In order for us to bear burdens with one another, start with life of prayer. Pastor Neri, our senior pastor, I met him at the seminary when he came in one summer to teach prayer seminar. I recognize him because he has a half-cut finger. And he pointed his finger and he said, "Young minister, in order for you to be a good minister, you have to pray for all the elders, all the deacons, all the members of your church daily, every day." My friend, this morning, a powerful church is the church that pray for one another.
a friendly church, a church that prays on behalf of the pastors, elders, and the members. More prayer, more power. And that's how we can able to bear burdens of one another. Start with a life of prayer. I love that song that says, Jesus knew me. Yes, he loves me. When he was on the cross, I was in his mind. Yes, Jesus bear our burdens through his blood, and he's standing before the throne of God, interceding for you and me. He bears our burdens because we are in his hearts. We can bear each other's burdens by start with a life of prayer. Jethro said to Moses, Moses, not only you can intercede, stand before God with in behalf of your people, but you must teach them with the statutes and the law of God. Moses, in order to share burdens, because I witnessed that you see alone, you cannot handle the burdens of leading your people. In order for you to do it, you must teach them the law of God and the decrees of God. My friend, this morning, we have the Word of God. In order for us to unify in a spirit of oneness and togetherness and unity, we must spend time in the Word of God. If we want to say that we one in Christ, there is a power in the Word of God that brings us together. Teach them in the Word of God. The Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 9, one of a powerful text in the Bible. I want to turn it to it if you have your Bible with you. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 9, the Word of God says, and we have the word of prophets make more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as a light shining in a dark place, until day dawn and the morning star rises in your hearts. We have the word of God like a morning star in our hearts. It illuminates the darkness within us. If we pay attention to the Word of God, teach them, meditate on it, because Psalms 19:105, you may recall that text. The Word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Yes, the Word of God, it has power. Not only it lightens, it brings light in our life, but it will bring us together. He has a transforming power, because Christ is the Lord. And the Bible, he says, study this scripture, because this scripture is testifying of Jesus Christ. Psalm David himself, Psalm 1:1-3, wonderful word of God says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of God, and on his law he meditates days and nights. He is like a tree by the stream of water, yield its fruits in seasons, and whose leaf does not wilt. Whatever he does, prosper. That's what the Word of God can do for us. Not only will pull us together, lift each other's burdens, but it makes us successful Christians, believers of Christ. You may not know that throughout this month, there are members of our church volunteer. They would like to take a sermonette using DVD. And they will start to study it, and every Wednesday night they will be here preaching, learning, and use those DVD presentations It will be invitations. If you're not signing in yet, please, that will be a chance. Because in the month of October, November, we train our lay people to become a teachers of the word. Because that's what the word says. In order for you to bear burdens of each other, you must teach them the word of God. Not only they will come and preach, but we also need people with a teachable spirit. People who would like to come and listen and learn. Not to critique and criticize, but to learn. Because the power of God that will bring us together. Jethro said to Moses, not only you need to petition, stand before God in behalf of your people, but teach them the word of God. He also said to Moses, to bear burdens with each other, we must show them the way. They must walk and work. To bear burdens with each other, show them the way, by reflecting Christ in your life. We can never be a good example unless Christ is within us. Christ himself says, John 14, 6 and 7, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. In order for us to show the way to the people how to walk and how to work, because he said, as he said to Philip, John 14, 8 and 9, Philip of Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, that will be enough for me. And Jesus answered to Philip, verse 9, don't you know, Philip, even after I have been among you such as long, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The word I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. If you want to show the way, if you want to show the work and how to walk, let Christ be in us. Let the world know that Christ is our person. Let Christ know that we can live in his heart. My friend, this morning, I'm not sure.
Because you have an adversary, the devil walks as by like a roaring lion, speaking whom he may devour. Not only was he speaking with us, but the devil himself is around us. Like a rolling lion, through us, walking our way, and pushing the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, he might deceive us. The Bible tells us, he's so good and amazing, because the devil is around. Not only the devil is still around, but James chapter 1, verse 14, it also tells us, it's another factor why we feel pain. But Christ has saved us. James 1, verse 13 and 14. I would like to read it for us. James 1, 13 and 14. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by Christ. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Verse 14. But if one is tempted when he is led away by his own lust, he desires and entices. There is an evil desire within us that draws us away from God. It is the devil around. But my friend, this morning, Apostle Paul and the Spirit of God testify us. If you look at the pen of Paul to his son Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, there is a promise for us. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on earth, on it. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called. You also call and have confessed from good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight. We call on you to eternal life laid before us. That's what Paul promised to us. We know we have a tendency of wanting to go back to Egypt. But as we know when the Bible tells us, we may feel that we are worthless, but Christ makes us worthless. We may feel defeated, but Christ is our victorious stand for us. And then Paul, in his letter to Ephesians 6, 13 to 14, well known text, put on the armor of God, because we are fighting with the principality of darkness. God does not forsake us. God does not leave us as obstinate and widowed, but he provided provision for us, all because of Jesus Christ. As we summarize the message this morning, in order for us to bear this one's burden, we must persistent in the truth for one another. In order to bear this one's burden, we must have a principle of mind for the faith in the Word of God. Let Christ reflect from us, know that Christ set us free by his grace through faith in his blood. My son of the morning, in order for us to come together as a family of God, those are elements that enhance us, knowing that we may feel defeated, but Christ does not. We know that God is with us. And he said, blessed are those who are faithful unto death, because there is a cloud of victory and glory restored for us all. May God bless us. May God be with us. As we bring our life together in service for God, because our Lord, Jesus Christ, came to victory for us in spite of our faults and our mistakes. He's telling us that it's not against the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit.